Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time to head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Our good buddy Adam Jardy covers the Buckeyes for the Dispatch, joining us. Adam, before we get into the hoops here, how's it going for you? How's the fam going? What are you doing to pass the time? Do you have anything that perhaps you could pass along to our listeners as a good way of passing some time here when we're in all this together?
We've been listening to a lot of music, and Disney Plus has everything Star Wars that you could possibly hope for. So that has been huge. Both my boys are already into Star Wars, but it has grown exponentially here in these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's the Disney Plus has been a frequent home. Let's talk a little hoops, my friend, and let's talk about a year ago at this time, an Ohio State recruiting class from Coach Holtman that had both DJ Carton and Alonzo Gaffney in it, and two top 50 players. And you said, okay, here we go. You had this recruiting class to a base of veteran players, and now a year later, neither one's going to be in the program going forward. How did we get here?
Well, two very different paths for both those guys, because it's easy to look, and I think we're all a little bit scarred by the fact that an entire five-man recruiting class just blew up a couple of years ago and led to the downfall of, you know, one of the greatest coaches in college basketball. I think that we get here with you bring in Alonzo, and I mean, you know, there were questions and sort of concerns about, you know, could he reach that potential? I mean, that was the word that kept getting thrown out with him at the preseason was, can he reach that potential? Frightening word, but also, you know, maybe a positive word. Well, I mean, he struggled with that, and we saw it throughout the season. I think as the year went on, it was pretty clear that he didn't fit in the plans, and it was going to be a long shot for him to be, you know, a real big contributor to the team. And then, I mean, you can't really prepare for a situation like what happened with DJ. Now, and I understand that I think some of these issues were he was dealing with before he got to Ohio State, but I don't think anybody had any idea that it was as pronounced as it was until they got into the heart of the season and things really got tough for him. So I don't really look at those as being like the same situation, but it is tough. I mean, when you have a recruiting class like that and you lose two top 50 guys, I mean, just, you know, that's talent going out the door. That is tough.
Adam, does that affect recruiting going forward for him? The fact that two guys come in and, you know, within a year they're one's going pro and one's transferring out. Do you think that recruits will look and say, well, what went on there?
I don't think so. At least not yet, because it's not like they have a major track record of this. I mean, like, you know, they lose Jaden Ledee last year. He goes to TCU and is basically the exact same player he was at Ohio State. So, I mean, yeah, he was a nice kid, but I mean, the program, I don't think is a big, you know, they didn't lose a lot by losing a kid like that. So, you know, you've lost three freshmen in 2 years. That's honestly, I think they've lost four guys in the last two, 3 years, something like that. And like, they're at the bottom of the Big Ten. There's only two schools that have lost fewer guys than that, like in that time span. So I don't think they're too worried about that. And I don't think it's really hurting them. And plus, you can very easily flip that to the other side and say, look at the opportunity that's there for you.
Yeah, and then the question becomes, okay, so these – and the one that breaks my heart, I think anyone who listens regularly will know, is DJ, because I just long for the idea of lead guards and someone who could have been a 2-3-4-year program guy but also has the potential to be a pro. So what is Holtman and his staff doing in recruiting? What does that look like at this point? I know 2020, just two commits at this point for the 2020 class, but as you go down the line, who are the difference makers? Is there – obviously, the big news, obviously, is Seth Towns and the transfer mark. We'll get to that in a second. But in recruiting, in terms of high school kids, is the momentum there the way that it needs to be?
I think it is. I think that, you know, you can sell that you've played young guys. I mean, when you look at these last two seasons and how much playing time the freshmen and sophomores have gotten, I think that message resonates with guys. I think you look just down the line and Michi Johnson is a four-star point guard out of Cleveland, and I think he's going to be a really good college player. So, you know, you've got him coming in. I wouldn't be surprised if they get to a spot where they have a spot available on the roster, maybe you add, you know, one of the traditional type transfers, another like CJ Walker type guy who's going to sit out next year and then, you know, have a veteran there to help Michi when he's a freshman. So I think that's probably the route they end up looking like going forward. But I mean, there's some talent out there. I mean, like you look at like that 2020 class and a guy like Malachi Branham up in Cleveland. I mean, he's a big guard that like would really fit in really well. I think he's a really high priority for them. But I think for the moment that, you know, they probably are kind of, you know, they don't really have the spots, so they can't really add anybody of significance at this moment. But I think it's something they'll definitely address down the road, and there's opportunity there.
Adam, we're going to be making a Almada Holtman team.
That's right.
So when you think of that era and you think of lead guard, Mata Holtman, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I get the two extremes in my mind because I think first off Aaron Kraft, because he's the all-time assist leader. He's all his defense. You know, he gave you offense. I mean, he was beloved by anybody who watched this program and hated by anybody that watched this program from another program. But then I also think at the other end, you take a Michael Conley who had one season and got this team to the championship game, played his way into the lottery, and what an unbelievable year that was. So I wonder how I stack. I'm trying to figure out how I stack that against what Aaron Kraft did for 4 years, or even think about the 1 year that they just put Evan Turner at the point and basically let him run the show, and how unbelievable of a season that was for Evan. He's got to be in that conversation. I feel like almost, even though he wasn't obviously a true point guard, but he did hold it down for a year and was pretty darn good at it. So there's some interesting names there. I mean, Jamar Butler, Shannon Scott. There's been some talent that's come through there at that spot.
You know, Adam, it's funny. Like there is, this is going to be fun. We limited it to 10 players because I want us to have to make tough decisions, and we'll do lead guards coming up here in the 10 o'clock hour. And the name you didn't mention is a consensus first team All-American in D'Angelo Russell. So that tells you we don't have a lot of those. They're not growing on trees, consensus first team All-Americans, and that's what D'Angelo was the 1 year he was here. So this is going to be a fascinating conversation to have. One last quick, and I'll get you out of here on this, on Seth Towns. And I loved him in high school. Loved him as a player in high school, and to get a player of his versatility, I think now health is going to be the question, right? But what are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, he told me that he's expected to be back on the court full go in June. I do think we have to expect that there's going to be some rust. Like no matter how soon he's able to get on the court, and no matter how well the summer and the fall go for him, I mean, he hasn't played in 2 years, so there's going to be there's going to be a period there, and I think we all have to adjust our expectations slightly. But I mean, that's a major impact. I mean, when you get a conference player of the year, a guy that is from the area, I mean, it means so much to this dude to be playing for Ohio State. Like those are things that every coach just dreams to have on his roster. So huge impact, huge pickup for them. Yeah. You got to hope that he gets back to full health and that, you know, maybe by like midseason, by Big Ten season, hopefully he's raring and roaring and ready to go.
All right, buddy. Stay safe out there with the fam and good luck. By the way, let me ask you this. Your kids, were they aware of who Vader was before they watched Empire?
Yes, they were.
So that sucks, doesn't it? That reveal sucks. That's what I came up with over the weekend because my boys were aware and it just sucked.
Yeah, that was hard. But when I got to take my oldest to see episode 9 in the theater and he got to see all kinds of reveals and stuff, that was okay. Almost as good right there.
So that's the payoff. Okay, yeah, because we watched Empire and they were like, it was no big deal, and I had to pause it. I'm like, you guys need to just sit here for a second and explain how big of a deal this was when this happened. I waited 4 years for this episode, and this was what this meant. All right, buddy. Good stuff. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.